This podcast is a ministry of Oriole Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.oriolechristianassembly.org.
I'm always willing to do the will of the Lord. There's a song, My Years, when I first came to the Lord. It was by Russ Taffs. And he used to say, "Here I am, Lord, because you love me." And I used to always, that was my heart, that was my song that I just loved so much that even when they... Even when they sang it at churches, I was the only one who stood up because I said, "Lord, here I am. I'm here to do your perfect will and your ways." Baruch Hashem Adonai, as blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I come in the name of the Lord, the Most High, our God, our Redeemer. And I just thank the Lord that I have opportunity to share the word with all of you. Forgive me for the tears, but I love the Lord. And, you know, our theme for this year is, as you trust and fear the Lord, blessing and increase is yours, all ye children, women, and men, in 2010. And I wanted to share that because I'm coming out of the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, and the title of my message is The Ideal Mother. So, if you all had followed in 1 Samuel chapter 1, you'll know what woman I'm going to come out with that's the ideal mother for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the ladies that are mothers that have children from their womb. This is a woman, if all you know about Hannah. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah means grace and prayer. I have a book at home and it gives me the definitions of the names. And I looked up to see if Hannah's name was on there, and it was. And it says, it means grace and prayer. She's a gracious woman. She has grace on her life. And in Psalms 84:11, if we can go there. Psalms 84:11 says, I'm reading out of the NIV. That's the book I have right now. I lost my King James version, so I'm reading out of the NIV. So, but I look in the King James and I look in the Amplified also. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Okay, I want to share a little bit about Hannah. Hannah was the wife of Elkanah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She was the mother of Samuel. And if you know in the story about Hannah, her husband had two wives. How many like to have two wives? No, say no. I want one wife. One wife fits me. Amen? Anyways, Elkanah was Hannah's husband. And he had two wives. If we go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, First Samuel chapter 1 verse 2 it says, Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah, or Pina. I'll call it Pina because it's short. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of the heavens armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Phinehas and each of her children. Who's Phinehas? Elkanah's second wife. Verse 5. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion, because the Lord had given her no children. So Phinehas would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Phinehas had taunted Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Verse 8, "Why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? I'm going to stop there because I want to share that some points about Hannah. Okay, we know she was the mother of Samuel. And we know that Elkanah, her husband, had two wives, and that the Lord shut up her womb. But in verse, if we go on, you see that she was always persecuted by her husband's other wife, Phinehas. And I don't know about you, but I think my feelings will be hurt to have somebody keep at me again and again and again and again. I mean, I found that being with the Lord, he's strengthened me in a lot of areas in my ways. And I found that people that would try to attack me with words, you know what? I have the shield of God. If you have the armor of God on, I put the shield of God. And those darts, I fired right back at that person. So if a person comes at me with words, you know, they have a saying, it goes in one ear, it comes out the other. Well, that's how I am today. So anybody that would say anything negative about me, I know I'm human, I could get hurt. But many times I try to stay strong in the Lord, because that's what God wants us to be, is strong in God, men and women. Now Hannah, because she went so long without having children, you know, she was hurt by the words that Phinehas had always taunted her and said, you know, well, I don't know the exact words, but you know, when people taunt you with words because you can't have children, and Hannah would be hurt by it, and she would, you know, just went to the temple and she would pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Many times you wonder why people wear a shawl. A lot of times in those days when they had the shawl over their head, that's like their tabernacle. They're praying to the Lord and they're interceding and they're constantly praying and praying and praying, whether it's for themselves or whether it's for their loved ones or whether it's just for whosoever God leads in their heart to pray. So a lot of times if you see a shawl over their head, they're in their own tabernacle. They're in their own place of worship with the Lord, in the secret hiding place. You know, in Psalms 91, it says the secret hiding place. And sometimes this is called your secret hiding place. And so that's what the Lord gives us. A lot of times we go and in our devotional time and we have a time of a prayer. And Hannah prayed with fervency because this woman, Phinehas, kept at her again every year, every year, every year she was at her. Well, and if we go on in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9, it says, Hannah's prayer for a son. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli, the priest, was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. I'm on 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli, the priest, was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow to the Lord. O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for the entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. You know, sometimes we make promises to the Lord and we don't remember them, but Hannah had no choice but to remember this one, because she wanted a baby. She wanted a son. And I'm going to read down in my notes where it talks about Hannah in verse 9 and verse 10 and 11. It says in verse 11, and it's my notes, I'm talking about verse 11. It says, be careful what you promise in prayer, because God may take you up on it. Hannah was so desperately wanted a child that she was willing to strike a bargain with God. God took her up on her promise, and Hannah's credit, she did her part, even though it was painful. Although we are not in position to partner with God, he may still choose to answer a prayer that has an attached promise. When you pray, you ask yourself, will I follow though on any promise I make to God if he grants my request? It is dishonest and dangerous to ignore a promise, especially to God. God keeps his promises, and he expects you to keep yours. So, you know, a lot of times we ask God for certain things, and we need to make sure we remember what we asked him for, because God's a promise keeper, and he keeps his part of what we ask him for, so we need to keep our part. if we go down to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27, it's telling us, verse 27 and verse 28, I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worship the Lord there. And they worship the Lord there. Today I titled The Ideal Mother, and I chose Hannah because of her four characteristics. And one of them came out of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. A mother, a prayerful mother, or a woman giving an example. She gave an example of how we are to be mothers, always pray, not giving up on our circumstances, not giving up on our children. Sometimes our children may cause us harm as parents, and we want to be there for them because we don't want to hurt our children, and we don't want our children to get hurt. But sometimes they get themselves in a predicament that harmed them. Now, Hannah had dedicated her son Samuel to the Lord, and she had promised God that she would keep him close to him. So Samuel, growing up, every time she had to go visit him in the temple, Hannah had taken him to the temple with the priest Eli, and there the priest was taught. That was like a training camp for the young folks, and they would teach the young ones the word of God and how to worship God and how to be in prayer with God and just a lot of traditions they had in those days. So a lot of you know 1 Samuel. Samuel was a prophet. And for some of you who don't believe in prophets, prophets are for today too. And sometimes you might have a prophet come in the church and prophesy over your life. And don't take it as an offense. Take it as God is revealing something to that person to give to you today. That's something, you know, you may say, wow, I don't know, that's not for me today. But you know what? If you don't feel that prophecy is for you today, put it on the shelf. Write it down first, put it on the shelf, and you'll see God reveal it within the years or the months or whatsoever. Because sometimes people think a prophecy is supposed to be at the snap of our fingers, and that's not so. A prophecy, when a prophecy is given to you, it's so that you can write it down and say, well, Lord, I don't see that in my life right now. That's okay. You're going to see it happen. I'll share with you an example. This past Wednesday night, the body of Christ was praying over my body. One of the ladies spoke over me, and she spoke fear. She says that I was in fear, and I didn't feel fear. But you know, sometimes when people pray over you and you don't feel that, it's maybe because God is telling them to pray that fear, that it will not come near my dwelling place, because fear could grip a person. And so I'm sure Hannah, when she prayed for her son, she prayed many things for him. And when she dedicated him to the Lord, just as we dedicate our children as a baby, we dedicate them to the Lord. And because we want to nurture them in the ways of God. And that's what Hannah did. She dedicated Samuel to the Lord so that he can be nurtured in the ways of God. And the way she did that was by sending him to the temple where the priests were. And so the priest taught him the statutes and the ways of God. And so we as moms and dads, more specifically talking to moms, because children are more with mothers than they are with dads, because dads have to go off and work. And moms are usually at home taking care of that child. And so Hannah had dedicated Samuel to the Lord, and so she had Eli, the priest, in the temple, teach him and nurture him in the ways of God. She trusted those men of God to nurture that man, her son, in the ways of God. So every year, as we go on in the Word, we're going to go into 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, my heart's rejoice in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. Verse 2. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Now Hannah prayed, had spoke there because, you know, there was a woman that was taunting her. And that was her enemy. That was her enemy because she wanted a child. And it's so hard for a woman to walk on this earth knowing that she cannot bear a child. And sometimes, and that's why there are spiritual moms, sometimes God will comfort you with children. And even if it's not children, it's teenagers. And even if it's not teenagers, it's young adults. And if it's not young adults, it's the veterans, the seniors. And that's okay. And you know, wherever God places you, remember he always has a plan for you. And the plan he had for Hannah was that as she got in her prayer closet, as she got alone with God and prayed fervently, and said, Lord, I want a son, and God, I want to dedicate him to you. And she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. And a lot of times, we need to know that God's got a plan for us, for me and you today. And it's not to harm us, but a plan to prosper us and to give us a hope and a future. And part of Anna's future was that God was making that plan straight for her. He made that crooked place straight for her. She thought because she was barren that She couldn't have no children because this woman kept taunting her. All this time, Peninnah had these children, and she had children, and she had children. And every year, she was taunting Hannah, saying, "You can't have children." I think that's pretty hurtful too. You know, words can hurt people. And so, as Hannah prayed, and she sought the Lord, God answered her prayer, but she kept her promise. God answered her prayer, gave her son. But God also kept, Hannah also kept her promise to the Lord. And that's why she can say in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies." Now she's got an answer for Peninnah. Why? Peninnah can't taunt her anymore because God had blessed her with her son. And it says, "And now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. No one is holy like the Lord." Now, in my Bible, it shows exclamation marks. An exclamation mark, you know, we're taught in the grammar school, is something with excitement, something with shouting. And in verse 2, she says, "No one is holy like you, Lord. No one beside you. There is no rock like our God." And so we have to understand, as women of God, as mothers, as spiritual moms, that you can go on in believing that God is the author and finisher of our faith, that He's the one who's going to answer and reveal. He's the one who's going to direct our path. He's the one who's got the plan for us. He does. He's got the plan for you and me today. And so some of the characteristics of Hannah, I have to go back on my notes real quick, is one, she was a prayingfulness, giving examples in prayer. She was in self-denial, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, where it talks about she was in self-denial. And then she was thankful in 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 and 2, we just read how thankful she was that God had given her a son. And I'm going to go down in my notes that's going to tell me a little bit more about these verses in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And it says, Hannah praised God for being a rock, for being firm, for being strong and unchanging. In our fast-paced world, friends come and go, and circumstances change. It's difficult to find a solid foundation that will not change. Those who devote their lives to achieve causes and possessions have as their security that which is finite and changeable. The possessions that we work so hard to obtain will all pass away. But God is always present. Hope in Him. He will never fail. Amen? Then it says in verse 3, it says, "No doubt, as Hannah said these words, she was thinking of Peninnah's arrogance, and Hannah did not have to get even with Peninnah." You know, that tells me something right there. We don't have to get even with anybody. God's word tells us, if you're reading the word of God, He says, "Vengeance is mine." And I could give you many examples of that, just that alone. But you know, God has a plan. And in my notes, it finishes and it says, Hannah knew that God is all-knowing and that He will judge all sin and pride. Hannah wisely left judgment up to God. Resist the temptation to take justice into her own hands. God will weigh your deeds as well as the deeds of those who have wronged you. You know, and like I said, I can throw out so many testimonies of that. But the fourth character I want to give you about Hannah is she was a woman of industry, an industrial woman, maternal, she had maternal love. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 19, if we can go there. Each year, his mother made a small coat for him. Now, mind you, this she's talking about her son Samuel. She had dedicated him to the Lord. He's now in the temple and the in the temple with the priest, and brought to him when she came with her husband for the sacrifice. So every year she was coming to see her son, and every year, mind you, he grew older. So every year she was bringing him a new coat. Because I don't know about you, but 3 years ago I probably couldn't fit into this blouse, but I could fit into it now. So, you know, every year she was going and bringing him a new coat because he grew and he grew and he grew. So with that, I just want to end summarizing that by saying these 4 points about Hannah, that how she was a woman of industry. She always made a coat every year or in some Bibles you'll see it says it's a robe or shawl. And so every year she made that for her son, and she always gave maternal love to him. So with the 4 points, I just want to end in closing scripture in Proverbs 11, chapter 16. It says, a gracious woman gains respect, and that's in the King James, I'm sorry. But a gracious woman gains respect and retains honor. In the Amplified, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, it says, a virtuous and worthy wife is earnest and strong in character, is a crowning joy to her husband, but she who makes a shame is as rottenness to his bones. So in Proverbs 11, verse 16, I'm going to just read that. A gracious woman, from the NIV, a gracious woman gains respect, but the ruthless men gain only wealth. So I just really wanted to stress the first verse of that. A gracious woman gains respect. So, you know, today, I want the ladies to come up in closing. Those of you that have bared children in your womb, I want you all to come up. I just want to say a simple prayer. If the Lord leads me to prophesy, I will go that direction. I have no plans to do that, but I always let the Holy Spirit lead me. So ladies, if you will come up quickly, and we want to be a praying woman, a praying mother, those that know the Lord and know that prayer is important in our life, because in 2 Thessalonians it talks about to pray without ceasing. And so moms that have had children, that have bore children from their womb, I'd like for you to come up. I just want to anoint you with the Holy Spirit, and that God will reveal a greater measure of His Spirit in your spirit, soul, body, and mind. I believe it's important for us moms to be strong in the Lord, to be gracious like Hannah was, and to know that, you know, a lot of times we want to doubt God in our walk, our spiritual walk with the Lord, but you know, God always has a plan, and it's not always our plan. You know, we plan things, and plans don't always work out the way we want them to be. So just the spirit, not the spiritual moms, just moms that, Sister Tina, and Tony, could you bring your mom up, please? And I'm just going to lay hands. If I stop on you and pray another prayer, so be it. To God be the glory. Amen. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for Sister Gina and Sister Angela, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that they are mothers, virtuous mothers, Lord, that they are, mothers that do with their hands, Lord. They are industrial mothers, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you're blessing their hands even today, God. Lord, continue to bless them, Lord, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, God.